So when I got let go, I was lost. I was humbled. I felt like my life was over. What am I going to do now? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay my bills? I was married at this point. So it was really tough adjustment. And again, I think this is where I suffered from fear, not having that confidence in myself that I was qualified to do some of these jobs.
From the jshulman.com studio, this is the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast. Now, your host, Jay Shulman.
Hey, it's Jay. Welcome to season two of the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast, the podcast where you get to hear other information security professionals' career journey. Last week in episode 13, we had Nick Merker on the podcast talking about his journey from security professional to lawyer. I really enjoyed our conversation about cyber insurance. If you missed it, head back to episode 13. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, maybe you missed Nick, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. And just so you know, it only captures your email, not your phone number. No one is going to be texting you in the middle of the night. This week on the podcast is Martin Reyes. Martin started off on a help desk and worked his way up to a managerial position in information security for a big bank. I appreciate Martin's insight, having been docked down a few times, and how he got right back up. Here is Martin's journey.
So I guess the way we can start off is I was at, right out of college, which was a major in CompSci, computer science, from DePaul University. I think it's worth mentioning that my initial major was accounting at the time. I might be dating myself, but that was where the money was, I guess, when you were coming out of college. I learned pretty quickly that it's not something that I wanted to do. Computers was something that I was very interested in, dating back to my Commodore 64. And there wasn't really a market for a job as it relates to computers. There were no home PCs or anything like that. So as I switched majors to CompSci, I continued to seek employment in accounting. So I landed a job in accounting very early on, I would say in mid-90s. And almost immediately, I kind of took a liking to the networking side of what we were doing. So they were terminals that we were entering information in as accountants. But the networking side really took my interest. So I, as much as I could, I started working with the networking side. And slowly but surely, that job evolved into me working on a networking side. From there, I knew that I didn't want to have anything to do with accounting. I left that company and I went to a law firm, a tiny law firm. And at that tiny law firm, I was I would say, help desk / network administrator. So that's really where I really got involved in, I guess, the infancy stages of information security. So I really enjoyed what I was doing. Clearly, I had outgrown the law firm pretty early on. It was just limited what I was allowed to do. The budget was very small. So I quickly moved over to, I would say, 2 years at the law firm, quickly moved over to KPMG. Now, when I went to KPMG, it was in what was probably referred to as the non-revenue generating side of KPMG. So I was doing help desk and network administration. That job quickly evolved into network admin. So I think it's important here to point out that while I was really enjoying the help desk side of stuff, I was being exposed to a lot of different things, nowhere near to what a help desk technician would be exposed to nowadays. I quickly found that networking was far more interesting to me than the PC side. So I wasn't really expecting that. So start doing networking side of things. And back then, it was very reactive. The one thing that we had on the horizon was Y2K, which was much ado about nothing, as you know. So it was very reactive. Basically, it was if a blade went down on a router, that's when we jumped in. If we had to install, I don't even think they were called patches at the time, but we were working with NetWare 4.1 and doing patches. And if a server abandoned, we were looking at things. So very reactive, but quickly that job could become very boring, as you know. So very little exposure to IPS, very little exposure to IDS at the time, firewalls, all that stuff, very limited. One of the guys that I was working with is actually someone that you did a previous podcast with, Sam Monastery. So while I was on the network side, Sam was on the help desk side, and Sam was telling me about the what we can call the revenue generating side of the house, or the consulting side of the house. And Sam was very interested in doing something like that. Now for me, I was a bit apprehensive. I guess you could classify it as fear. It was fear of the unknown. I didn't know what they did. And because I didn't know what they did, I just felt like I wasn't qualified to do it. So Sam went, interviewed, they picked him up right away. And Sam started working over there for about 6 months. Well, he worked there much longer, but he was there for 6 months. And he told me, listen, you can do this job. You should come and do it. So just out of interest, Sam set up an interview for me with one of the managers over there. I went, I remember this vividly. I went and I sat down with a manager on a Friday afternoon. And it was just a precursor, I thought, to an interview, just to get my, to see what it is that they did, what the expectations would be, what success would look like. And then from there, I would make a decision as to whether or not I wanted to interview. So did that Friday. Monday morning, I come in. My boss calls me into his office immediately. As soon as I put my stuff down, I go in. He's like, hey, listen, the Erm side of the house wants to make you an offer. So I was like, wow, I didn't even know that was an interview. But I reluctantly accepted, and I went over. From there, they just threw me to the wolves, basically. It was baptism by fire. We didn't necessarily have a focus area. I was just doing, I guess what you can say, Erm, so risk management. I was doing ITGC. I was doing application control testing. I was doing SOX testing. I was doing what was back then considered to be SAS 70 work. A little bit of everything. I did HIPAA. I did PCI. A little bit of everything. And what I found was that it didn't happen overnight, I was qualified to do the work. I did know what I was doing. It took some time. I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by people who were very smart and very willing to help. Just point me in the right direction. That's all I really wanted, you know, and let me learn on my own. So that happened pretty quickly, where I started getting all the work with KPMG on the consulting side, And getting sent out on jobs, my first real exposure to travel. So traveling, the expectations, all of that stuff, it was just night and day compared to my previous job. And I found very quickly that I liked it. I really liked going to a client, staying with that client for, 2 to 3 weeks, and then moving on to something else. And when I say something else, it could be something completely different. I would be working at a supermarket one engagement, and then the next engagement would be, General Motors, and then the next engagement would be a grocery store chain. So that kept me on my toes, and every single time I went into a new place, it was always something interesting, something else new to learn, and it really excelled my career. And what it also did was, because there was no real particular focus, it also helped me see other areas that I found very interesting. As I was in the Erm practice, something that evolved pretty quickly was an information protection practice. So there was a very small group of us, and we started doing web penetration testing. And that was something that I was always interested in, but never felt like I was qualified to do. Again, Sam was the first one to go over, and I followed him soon after. And we're talking about weeks instead of months this time. And the work was fascinating to me. I loved it. It was, back then, it was identify and exploit as evidence. And I really liked that a lot. We had a toolkit. Again, I had the benefit of having some very smart managers who kind of walked me through it. Very interesting stuff to me. I loved it. And then eventually, now we're talking about a period of maybe 3 to 4 years that I've been doing this. As the information protection group grew, and we started getting more and more engagements, the travel started getting to me. It was generally Sunday night through Friday evening. I was home a day. The time I was dating my now wife, then girlfriend, so it made it very difficult to kind of develop a relationship when I was home just once a week, and I felt like we were on long distance. Being away from my family, who I'm very close to, all that started kind of creeping into my head. As much as I love the work, as much as I love the camaraderie of working with, the people that I had been working with for so long, the travel started getting to me. So despite the travel, I really enjoyed the work, and I felt like this was a means to an end. You know, I was learning a lot so quickly. It was being crammed down my throat. And because I enjoyed it so much, I didn't see it as work. I was learning as I went. It was fascinating stuff to me. It just kept feeding my interest. The more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. We'll jump ahead in 2008. I'm still working in information protection, enjoying it as much. The travel is definitely getting to me now. And now I find myself in the Christmas season, so November, December, I'm at a small bank in North Dakota. It's either Sioux Falls or Fargo. I can't remember which. I flew into one city and then I had to drive an hour and a half to the other. And at that point, we had started, KPMG started offering our information protection services, catering to our clients. So one of the things that we were doing now was we don't want to impact production hours. So we're going to move to non-production hours. So instead of doing my testing during the day, sometimes on a development environment or testing environment, I was doing testing on production environment from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. And another piece of that was, okay, our clients were starting to say, listen, we appreciate you identifying exploiting. Let's just keep it to identification at this point. We don't need you to exploit. So that, for me, exploiting was more than half the fun. So that kind of took something away from the enjoyment that I was having with the job. So North Dakota, during Christmas, working 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., basically the graveyard shift. That's during that trip is when I decided, you know what, I've had enough of this. It's been great. It's been great. And if I had to do it all over again, I most definitely would. But I decided it was time to move on. At that point in 2008, my good friend Sam had moved on to a credit reporting agency located in Chicago, Illinois. And he told me about an open position. They were looking for a third-party security risk consultant. So submitted my resume, and I'm sure with the help of Sam, got the job. I reluctantly gave my 2 weeks to KPMG and moved over to the credit reporting agency. And one of the first things I noticed immediately was that it was a completely different culture, where I think consulting is very competitive, a lot of type A personalities, the expectations are very high. You become what I would sometimes refer to as becoming institutionalized, where you work at such a frantic pace that you become used to it. I mean, it's you're churning out 40 hours of work in 3 days because, you know, you're in another city in a hotel room. So it was a big adjustment for me, one that I was warned about, but one that I was not definitely prepared for. So some of the first tasks that I was assigned, the turnaround time that they were asking for was 6 months, and I could knock it out in a week. And now that's not me tooting my own horn. That's just me saying, you know, I understood what the expectations were at the consulting firm, and it was hard to break that habit. So going to this credit reporting agency at the time was a privately held agency, very small, very, very small budget. Information security was not, I wouldn't say, a priority over there. So it was tough to come from an industry where it was so prevalent and so it was a must-have. It was a requirement. Yeah, I would say it was a requirement. You know, there's acts and regulations, but when you think about CRAs, if you're public, you have some requirements that you have to meet. If you're not, if you're privately held, there isn't really anything that you need to adhere to other than FCRA, maybe some HIPAA, maybe some PCI, but for the most part, not much. So I learned quickly that it was a culture in which I needed to adapt to. So rather than trying to bring my team, I was a manager. Rather than bring my team to work at a pace that I was used to working to, I kind of gave into the culture and I started to work as everybody else did. So if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. From there, that was 2008 when I joined them. 2010, I was unexpectedly let go from that CRA. I didn't see it coming. And I think this is an important piece of it. I think while I was at KPMG, I got caught up with the people that I worked with. And this is not good or bad. I got caught up with their priorities. They were very title-driven. They were money-driven. Success was climbing the corporate ladder as quickly as possible, and they would do anything to do it, you know, basically just short of anything to get there where they needed to go. I kind of adopted that kind of, even though those weren't my priorities going in, I kind of adopted those priorities. They became my priorities. So when I got let go, I was lost. I was humbled. I felt like my life was over. What am I going to do now? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay my bills? I was married at this point. So it was really tough adjustment. And again, I think this is where I suffered from fear, not having that confidence in myself that I was qualified to do some of these jobs. And if you think back to 2010, the market wasn't very good at all for jobs, information security or any other job, if you could remember back then. So it was pretty tough for me. You know, I probably took it much harder than I should have in hindsight, but it really changed me as a person and how I saw my career. Fortunately, we'll jump ahead about 3 months. I had a colleague that I had that I worked with KPMG, and he was servicing HSBC. He was one of their clients, and they were looking for somebody just like him. So they said, hey, if you know anybody, please get me their resume. So he was kind enough to give me a call. He knew I was looking. I sent my resume over, and in a matter of 2 weeks, they hired me. And HSBC, where I'm currently employed, I did a little bit of everything. It kind of felt like KPMG in a lot of ways. I've done privacy there. I've done mergers and acquisitions. I've consulted on compliance and legal calls for contracts, third-party security risk. I've done application security. I've done security testing. I've done some EGRC. And right now, I'm considered what is a risk steward. So if you think of three lines of defense, I'm second line right now. So a little bit of everything. And what it's really done for me is it's really helped me to understand where it is that I want to take my career when I'm thinking of my next steps, where I want to go next. So it's all of it has been fantastic. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, the good times and the bad times, it's all really helped shape my career. I was too young to see it when it was actually happening. Now that I'm older, I can definitely appreciate it.
Thank you for talking. Kind of the minute, you know, I write down all these different questions as you kind of go tell your story. And I was definitely going to ask you about being laid off from the credit reporting agency. And yet you've tied it together so well, talking about the fear and everything. So thank you for kind of digging deep to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about, and I think it's really interesting because you brought it up and I see it quite a bit myself, is what it's like to switch between that type A mentality, you know, everybody running it at light speed, and an organization that kind of is just happy to show up to work. How are you able to make that adjustment? You talked about kind of just letting the team run it instead of, you know, pushing the team to run like you. How did you manage it personally?
Yeah, it was tough. It really was. You know, when I first came in, I felt like I didn't want to join them. You know, I was working diligently as soon as I came in, and it wasn't to make an impression. It wasn't to prove my worth or anything along those lines. It was just what I was used to. What I started noticing is 4:30, I would pick my head up and everybody would be gone. The building would be vacant, basically. It's hard. You could turn one person at a time. You know, you could get someone on your team. But when you have some dependencies on other people in other groups, it makes it really difficult. And I had all these great ideas, you know, these ideas that I felt like could really improve the information security posture at this place. And I would go to my manager all excited and say, hey, listen, this is what we can do. This is what we can do. Like, hey, listen, I appreciate your ambition. I appreciate your determination, but we just don't have the money to do it. So that took the wind out of my sails. And much like when I moved from the network administration side to the consulting side, it was being adaptable. And I think that's something that I wouldn't say it's a lost art, but it's definitely an art. You have to learn to adapt. You can't necessarily give up your morals. You can't give up your work ethic, but you definitely have to adapt. So while I say that I did concede and start, you know, I started leaving at 4:30. It was nice after, you know, working 60-hour work weeks and flying back and forth all over the country. It was nice to get up and leave at 4:30 and not have, you know, 17 people calling me, asking me where I was at 6:00 in the evening. So it was a nice break, you know, to be honest, it was a nice break. But there was still a part of me when I talked about your, you know, your work ethic, there's still a part of you that you just can't, give up all of it. Once you understand what your work ethic is, and it doesn't, again, it doesn't have anything to do with your drive or your ambition. It's just who you are. Understanding who you are when it comes to your career is vastly important to me.
So you talked a lot, you know, kind of in the same context about how you or that you had to learn all along the way, especially at KPMG, I'm guessing at HSBC as well. And you made a specific comment about, you know, point me in the right direction, and I kind of want to learn by myself. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you were able to pick up all of these different skills and techniques over the years?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you should ask me that. When I got to HSBC, They really didn't have a place for me. They know they needed somebody, but there was a lot of transition going on at the time where, and when I say that at the C level. So I think they had plans for me when they brought me in, but those plans changed when they started seeing the changes at the top. So they put me on a global information or identity access management team. And it's not something that I had ever done before, especially for an organization this size. And as long as you have that foundation of information security and what it is that you're trying to do, I think it's fairly easy to learn. At least it was for me. But one thing that I needed to learn that I didn't necessarily possess at the time when I walked into HSBC is the confidence. I didn't have the confidence, you know, as I said. And I think as I talk to more and more people, everybody goes through this. You get appointed to a new job, or you go out and you're looking and you're reading job descriptions and you're saying, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's for somebody who's in a completely different field from me. I can't do that. That was me. That's what I was doing at every single turn. One of my first managers at HSBC had a very interesting thing to say to me when he came in. He was one of these guys who came in when the C levels changed. And he's like, you know, one of the first things I did when I came in here is I was looking at resumes and I looked at yours and I just have a question for you. I'm like, sure, shoot. And this is our first interaction. He's like, why are you here? I was like, I'm not sure what you mean. He's like, you're overqualified to be doing what you're doing. So that, when he said that, before he said you're overqualified, when he said, what are you doing here? I felt like he was telling me that I was underqualified, which is what I kind of felt I was feeling at the time. And he told me you're overqualified. And so I really took a long, hard look at myself. And I looked at my resume when I got home that night. And I'm like, wow, I've done a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of good stuff. I know a lot. And every single one of those things that I had listed on my resume, I felt like I could not do when I walked in the door. And I think everybody goes through that. But you just have, you know, as hard as it is, you have to get past it. You're going to learn. You're going to pick up these things. You've been doing it for your entire career. That's what I had to tell myself. And one of the other things that he told me during that meeting that I'll never forget, and it's cliche, and I'm not a big fan of cliches, but he said, and this is the first time I had said it, you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So I didn't know what he meant at the time. But when he told me that, I was like, okay, but whatever that means, that's what I'll do. And so he started putting me on these things. So HSBC did not have a privacy practice. So he said, I want you to start a privacy practice here at HSBC. Now, we're talking about a global organization, and the U.S. did not have a privacy practice. So he's like, I want you to put one in place. I want you to lay the foundation for a privacy practice. I had no idea anything about privacy, but I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. I started reading as many articles as I could, books, talking to people in compliance, talking to former KPMG colleagues, and I learned. And he instilled that confidence in me. I mean, I think it was there, but he just brought it out in me. And once I did that, once you're able to tackle something that you feel like you weren't qualified to do, everything else becomes much easier. So instead of looking at it as a challenge, I stopped looking at it as a challenge and started looking at it as an opportunity. I know there's going to be times, and this happened at every single job, that you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face. And it happens to everybody. You know, you look around and you see these highly successful people, it's happened to them. You know, I'm sure it's happened. Well, we know it's well documented. It happened to Bill Gates, it happened to Steve Jobs, it happened to Warren Buffett. It's happened to all these people in this field, and, you know, fields even beyond this, wildly successful people. It's happened to all of them. So it's how you see the challenge. Is it a challenge or is it an opportunity? You have to look at it as an opportunity. Otherwise, you know, you're probably destined to fail if you don't look at it as an opportunity. So you can't. I had to get over my fear. He helped with that. And after I was able to successfully lay a privacy foundation at HSBC, everything else just became, okay, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. So it really helped me with my confidence. And from there, I was able to tackle things and see them as opportunities instead of challenges.
I think I must like cliches, because I usually say it's not that you fell down, it's how you got back up. So
yeah,
kind of in the same light. So we ask everybody two questions. And normally I can predict which part of their career they're going to answer, but I actually can't do this with you. I have a couple on the list. So throughout your career, it sounds like you've actually made a lot of tough choices. And a lot of things that you might have agonized over, but that things still went your way and still turned out for the best. Choosing just one, perhaps, Is there one thing that you kind of remember as being something that you really agonized about, but all worked out well in the end?
Yeah, you know, moving from network administration to the consulting side of things, I don't know how else to put it. I was comfortable at network administration, you know. I knew it well. There wasn't very many things that were going to happen that I did not know how to resolve. The hours were sweet. There was no travel. And I think basically I was content there. I wasn't being challenged. And I don't know that I had ever thought about that before. You know, people would tell me that in conversations. I would read that in articles, but never knew exactly what it meant. When I moved over to the consulting side, it really pushed me to, I think, understand what my potential is. I don't know that I had a good handle on that. So I guess the one thing in hindsight, if I could go back, is to not let fear dictate what it is that I was going to do. Fear of the unknown. You know, I didn't know what the consulting people were doing, and I was fine with that. Asking the hard questions. And so I owe a lot of that to Sam. You know, Sam was kind of our guinea pig. He went over first and said, hey, you can absolutely do this job. So in hindsight, if I could go back, the one thing I would change is I would have gotten consulting much sooner than I did.
Well, and it's not only that he was the guinea pig. I mean, he pushed you, right? He was the guy that that kind of pushed you forward. So lucky to have that. So in all this, even a couple examples of where you did fall down, you certainly got back up really well. Is there something that if you had to do it all over again, you'd do it differently?
What I would do differently? Yeah, I think it would go back to the fear. I would stop letting fear dictate my decisions. Can't do that anymore, especially at my age. And I wish I would have recognized that much sooner than I did. Whether going back to the CRA, when I was let go from the CRA, there was a lot of time of self-reflection, and I was angry at first. I was angry pretty much the entire 3 months that I was out of a job. And I think when I think about that, I remember riding down in the elevator on my last day, and there was a few of us, and the HR person said to us, and I thought at the time it was cold-hearted. She said, you know, think of this as an opportunity. Think of this. This could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And that was the last thing I needed to hear at the time. But when I think back, like, wow, she may have been right. She may have predicted exactly what happened. I think that serves so many different things for me. The self-reflection, the understanding, the confidence, the getting past my fears, the humbling, all of those things that came of that. If you would have asked me, you know, 2 weeks after it happened, I would have said, no way. Now, as I look back at it, it's definitely one of the best things that happened to me.
Thank you. I'm sure it helps everybody. It happens to everybody at some point in their career where something like that happens. And it's great to hear your story of kind of getting over it. And it really does sound like it was a transitional moment in your career and kind of puts you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, good. Anything else that you want to add that we haven't talked about today?
For your listeners, I would just say not to let fear dictate whether or not you pursue something. See it as a challenge. See it as an opportunity. Don't see it as a challenge. Look at it as an opportunity. Everybody fails. And everyone, when I can't speak for you, Jay, but I think everybody's a little reluctant when they go in. Hey, am I qualified to do this job? I think it's natural. I think the longer you work, the more you realize just how much potential you have. I've had the privilege of working with a lot of great colleagues. And even the ones that were not so great, you still learn something from them. And when you fail, I think, or when you fall, I should say, when you fall, you also learn something. You know, you learn, okay, I can't do it that way the next time. So it's a constant learning process, and just you can't be afraid.
Absolutely. And I'd add on to that, because I certainly have had that experience where I've walked into a job and been like, how am I going to do this?
Right.
Is that oftentimes they're not hiring you because you can do the job, but because they see the potential in you to do the job. They know that you have something to learn, and they believe you can learn it. And sometimes that's all you need to understand to go and do it well. So,
yes.
Martin, I much appreciated all of the questions and answers today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Martin. It's interesting. The questions I ask everyone are designed to make our guests get a little bit more insightful about their career. Martin has already done a lot of that soul searching personally, and I valued his insight into his own struggles, which ultimately, I believe, has helped him grow his career. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date on the podcast, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. And as always, I promise not to text you or even keep your phone number. Thanks for listening and talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast with Jay Shulman. For more information and to subscribe, go to jshulman.com.